Anthony Eastwood Show. The show that's all about being fueled by caffeinated beverages delivered via thermos. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. In fact, I was just talking with one of my listeners in the Uber Kingdom today. Well, a New Zealander in the Uber Kingdom. How surprising is that? And he went to Afghanistan and did all freaky stuff and what have you out there. And oh my God, the amount of poppies that those people are running in and out of that place, man, and the C-130s that the CIA borrowed from the US Fire Service in the late 80s to run drugs in and out and weapons and what have you during Iran-Contra, and they never gave those planes back and they're still using them. It's classic. Absolutely classic. And what I wanted to do, ladies and gentlemen, today, we have a remarkable special guest. I don't even believe it. He's so good. He's so good. He's like the creme de la creme of the alien. It's Alfred Lamont Webber. Alfred, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you very much. You know, when we scheduled the talk about verdict that the Kuala Tribunal reached earlier this year in May against George W. Bush, Richard B. Cheney, Donald H. Rumsfeld, and four of their lawyers, which for the first time they've been found guilty of torture, cruel and inhuman and degrading treatment of civilians, which constitute war crimes and crimes of humanity, which occurred both in Iraq, Afghanistan, which you just as well as Guantanamo. And the day that schedule it on today, which is at least hearing what I'm out there in.
Sorry, Alfred, you're breaking up just a little bit. You might want to consider turning off your Skype camera there and just do audio only.
Okay, good. Let me just do that. Is that better?
That is much better.
Oh, good, good. Okay, well, so let me recap. Originally, we're going to do this program about George W. Bush and how the Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Tribunal, on which I serve as a judge, found Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, and four of their lawyers guilty of war crimes for torture in Iraq, Afghanistan, which you mentioned, and Guantanamo. This is the first in history. And we scheduled it for today, June 5th. Today's June 5th in Vancouver, BC. What time and date is it there in Auckland now?
It is Wednesday, the 6th of June.
Wednesday, 6th of June. Oh, well, fine. And as that turns out, we're in the famous Venus transits. As we speak now, Venus is transiting in front of the sun. The last time it happened was 2004, and the next time it's going to happen is going to be 2117. So Venus is passing right in front of the sun. It looked like a small pin drop, a pinpoint, right in front of the sun, and people ascribe all sorts of there are not only all sorts of astronomical events going on around the Earth. You know, you can look at this through special sun goggles, all sorts of ceremonies, but it is meant to be a time when you focus on, I guess, your sort of higher self, and you promote what you wish to see, because this is a time, according to the timeline, and I'm quoting my colleague Laura Magdalene Eisenhower. She says, "This is a day of powerful Venus transit. The alchemy is completing itself, turning the Luciferian downward pentagram upward again, turning the shadow Venus of the material world and all its superficiality and program that appeases the lower senses into the consciousness of divine love and co-creation with Source. I guess that's like your T-shirt, Vinny. I love to expose scumbaggery. Is that it?
Yeah. I'll just actually stand up so the people who are watching the video can see it as well. So I just got a whole bunch of these new T-shirts, and they're great. I love to expose scumbaggery. I really do. And I needed a T-shirt just to let other people know.
There you go. So we have scheduled this program on, I guess, some esoteric scholars say, on the precise day that that has the most potential with all of the alignments of Venus and the Sun and other celestial alignments for really focusing the energy to bring about the maximal exposure of scumbaggery, and then the maximal putting into place of a positive timeline. So I guess it's a pretty good time to schedule a show.
Well, it's either coincidence or it might be part of my dark occulted mysticism, but I find that, yeah. I think what is really poignant about this is that a lot of people don't recognize that there are many, many, many dates on the calendar that have very special significance for occultists that the rest of the public are just completely unaware of. And basically, I found it's really interesting. Even if you don't believe in the power of these dates and how convergence of celestial forces at particular times and alignments and all of that kind of stuff, even if you don't believe it, the fact still remains that huge things always happen on these dates.
Right. So this is, you know, and then this is the Venus transits are also aligned with the jubilee of the Queen of England, of the UK. And I suppose that both you and I are in British Commonwealth countries now. And I'm not sure of exactly what the status of the UK monarchy is in New Zealand, but I can tell you that here in Canada, the UK Queen is the head of state of Canada, and that the Canadian-based International Tribunal for Crimes of Church and State, to which I'm an advisor, has found the UK monarch to be and has issued a summons to her for genocide against the Aboriginal peoples here. In fact, we can talk about that. Here we have, over this past weekend, Elizabeth Windsor, to great global pomp and circumstance, celebrated her 60th anniversary on the throne, Diamond Jubilee. And yet, at the same time, we have witnesses here in Canada at the International Tribunal for Crimes of Church and State that in October of 1964, Elizabeth Windsor, head of state of Canada, came to Kamloops, British Columbia, which is a city kind of in the north of BC, with her consort, Prince Philip. And they went to an Aboriginal First Nations residential school where the children had been pulled away from their families, sent to residential schools so they weren't allowed to speak their language. And they chose, Elizabeth Windsor and her consort chose 10 Aboriginal children, 7 boys and 3 girls, and said, she made them, Elizabeth Windsor made them kiss her feet, and then said, I'm taking them out to take them to a picnic by the river. And those children had never been seen again in their lives. So the speculation is that they were killed in either ritual murders or sold off into sexual slavery, because the eyewitness that came forward, Richard Coombs, fortunately, the tribunal got his testimony on videotape, but just about a month before he was scheduled to go to the UK to testify, he suddenly was admitted to the hospital and was dead within a few days in a very mysterious happening. So this is the circumstance, kind of the polarization of opposites, you know, the forces that are really competing here now.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. What's happening with this Diamond Jubilee? I mean, is it like weddings and stuff like that, you know, where the first gift you give is paper and then it's wood and so on and so forth? I hope she lives to be like 100 or something so that we can have a plutonium jubilee or something, you know? Maybe. I don't know. And the whole thing about child sacrifice and ritual killing and all of that kind of stuff, that goes all the way back to the Hellfire Club and way back in the day. I mean, how do these hereditary dictators actually get into power? They get into power by being dictators and being scum and murdering people and stealing their bloody land and overtaxing them so that they can't rise up. And then after a few generations, people forget that they're brutal, murdering, sociopathic dictators and think that they're really nice and cheery people who just enjoy scones and tea, but no, they enjoy blood.
Right. For example, if we look at the various false flag operations or the attacks against the Earth, and for detailed documentation, people can go to www.ecologynews.com. That's www.ecologynews.com. And if we look there at the BP Gulf oil spill, that was a false flag operation that was an attack on, it was an environmental attack on the ecology of the Earth and on the United States, the ecology of North America, of the Gulf Stream, and of the people of North America and of Mexico. And it was carried out, according to our best evidence, via companies that are controlled by the British throne, BP Petroleum, and by the City of London bloodline families, including the Rothschild family. And so these sorts of environmental attacks are continuing. And if we go to a second environmental attack, which is thoroughly documented, and that was the March 11th, 2011, Fukushima false flag event. That was a HAARP earthquake. It was caused by the Tromsø, Norway HAARP facility, which is controlled by one of the Bilderberger families. And again, it was carried out on behalf of the Illuminati power structure of the British throne, with great assistance from the Department of Energy, David Chu, in the Obama administration, so that we have all of the apparatus of government are now assisting this worldwide genocide and ecocide that, for example, happened in the Fukushima operation. And the Fukushima, you mentioned royal weddings. The royal wedding happened, I believe, around April 27th or April 29th of 2011. And at that time, they used the weather warfare capabilities of HAARP to ferry across the radiation from Fukushima and create enormous tornadoes over the United States to rain down radiation on the U.S., even as the royal wedding of Prince William and the Duchess of Cambridge was occurring, i.e., it was this is a genocide being carried out against peoples in North America who are not totally loyal to the British crown.
Well, Alfred, let's leave it just there, and we'll come back to that after the break. Alfred Weber is my guest, ladies and gentlemen, exopolitics.com. Back in just a few minutes with a little bit more information at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream, just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TV eye brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted. A fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president, it seems. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero. That lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go, in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I love this network. It's really good because we have lots of really good hosts on this network, and they're all really cool, okay? Here's the thing. I found earlier on in my life that if you're going to hang out with people, make sure you hang out with people who are cool, okay? And their coolness will rub off on you. Somebody who is incredibly cool, and frosty even, Alfred Lamont Weber is back. Now, what were we talking about before we went to break, Alfred?
Well, you know, we were really looking at the current reigning planetary monarch in the British throne. And during the break, I was thinking that today, it being the Venus transits and sort of, you know, that year of 2012, how could I offer the listeners a perspective that why would we think that in our generation things might have a hope of change, of actually transforming? And I think that, first of all, we have to look at the actual picture of how long things have been this way. And we've been under an exploitative Anunnaki Illuminati hierarchy for at least 280,000 years.
We'll just announce that to people. Freeman just messaged me, ladies and gentlemen, during the break, letting us know that his site, freeman.tv.com, also has now a little page on it where you can watch the transit of Venus. So that's freemantv.com/space-war-news/. I'll do that one more time. freeman.tv.com/space-war-news/. Okay, so I'll pop that into the chat room as well, so you can check that out, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, so people can actually watch what we're talking about. Sorry, Alfred, continue.
Yeah, sure. And so what makes us think that in this time that we're becoming aware, and with all the transits and with things like the interdimensional portal of the universe that we're in is now switching its broadcasts to unitary consciousness, why do you think that things are going to transform? Well, let's go back to how things got this way. And we know that our species, Homo sapiens, is really an experimental project from kind of a consortium of upper dimensional human civilizations that created a 12-strand light being, a 12-strand DNA light being in the third dimension. And that was our original design by civilizations like the Pleiadians and the Alpha Centaurians and other advanced ethical human civilizations, until there was an intervention by the Anunnaki ETs starting around 280,000 years ago. And I was actually, thanks to the research of Michael Tellinger, in South Africa near Johannesburg last fall at what they call Adam's Calendar, which is the site where the Anunnaki ETs under Enki landed 280,000 years ago, and there's an enormous calendric site there, and these stone circles that reach up to neighboring countries that form a huge machine for teleporting the mining of gold to a central place at Adam's Calendar, and there the gold was teleported up to the Anunnaki spaceships or directly to their planet. And so that 280,000 years ago, the Anunnaki began two things. Number one, exploiting the gold on our planet and exporting it off planet. And number two, intervening and devolving Homo sapiens down from a 12-strand DNA light being to a 2-strand DNA slave status. And things have not changed much in 280,000 years. If we look at the Illuminati hierarchy, who are the inheritors of the Anunnaki exploitative hierarchy, they continue the same practice of devolving humanity down to wage slave status through DNA manipulation using radioactivity, wars, all sorts of toxic substances, and negative programming. And they also rule with the same sort of totemic black magical authoritarian rule as did the Anunnaki ETs. So that, in a sense, those reigning monarchs, including the Pope, the monarchies, the authoritarian religions, the governments, the authoritarian governments, including communism, fascism, you know, are all relics of the Anunnaki occupation of Earth. And so, and one could tell by the worship that humans still have. There was a UK Telegraph poll that 91% of British school children believe that the Queen, who is in fact a Satanist, and engages in child genocide.
Well, that seems to be pretty obvious to me. I mean, if you have a look at the wedding ceremony of Kate and William, the guy who was like the priest, you know, with the big sort of tuft on his back, like one of the Skeksis off the Dark Crystal kind of thing, he had a giant pentagram on his back.
Yeah,
you know, in full view of the public.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is, we are now being ruled by a planetary cult that is in the service of dark interdimensional forces, and it has been this way for 280,000 years. So what hope is there for a transition or a transformation in our age? Now, let me sort of put out some of the conditions that make for possible hope, that is a positive timeline. Say, if we look at a transitional period, 2012 to 2025, and the primary transition being changes of consciousness. Well, we have a number of institutions that are now coming to their end. Number one, the primary exploitative hierarchy of the last 2,000 years, or the last 3,000 years, the Roman Emperor is deconstructing in plain sight, and that is the Pope and the Roman Catholic Church. Around 300 AD, 325 AD, the Roman Emperor morphed into the Pope, and we've been ruled by the Roman Emperor in the form of the Roman Catholic Church as the planetary ruler for the last 2,000 years, claiming the mantle of God, the mantle of Jesus of Nazareth, the mantle of the incarnated God, and through the secret treaty of Verona in the 1700s, claiming earthly sovereignty over another planetary ruler who's Elizabeth Windsor. Now, that play is now coming to a climax and an end. And it appears that if we look at some of the prophetic texts, such as the Book of Revelation, on the one hand, you have a strand of prophecy which appears to be coming true, either in the terms of self-fulfilling prophecy or not. The prophecies of Saint Malachi hold that the current Pope Ratzinger, who's actually a Nazi youth, is the penultimate Pope. And after him comes the final pope, known as Petrus Romanus. And that final
does that by chance translate into the pestilence of Rome?
yeah, something like that. It means Peter the Roman. But in terms of upper theater, or the sort of archetypal function carried out by this final pope, that fits into what's called the Antichrist.
There's something like 17 references to the Antichrist in the Bible, one entity on the earth, with the exception of the Vatican, that can actually fulfill all 17 of those references.
The Pope is what's called the false prophet, okay? And this would be the Pope following the current Pope, which is the penultimate Pope. And if you're following the current news, it looks like there is a manufactured Watergate-type meltdown within the Vatican that's occurring. There are over 20 whistleblowers that are leaking secret documents. The Pope's butler is being framed for having leaked these documents when he's just sort of an innocent bystander. And the Pope's most stalwart ally, this right-wing cardinal who's the Secretary of State, is actually being, he's sort of one of the targets of all of these leaks, along with Ratzinger. And all of this is taking place in public view. Well, concurrently with this, there's a strand that holds that the Antichrist would actually be a person who can fulfill all of the protocols for the New World Order King, that is, the global Zionist King. And all of those qualifications are set out in a document which is a very controversial document, which people have said, oh, it's completely bogus, and that is the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. But that protocol sets out the qualifications for a global king, i.e. New World Order.
Wasn't there like 10 kingdoms or something of that nature? Like they're to be ruled over by 10 dictators, and in the central there'll be the bankers who provide the cash flow for all of these completely dependent, well, sorry, interdependent, I think it's the same thing actually, kingdoms. And so therefore the New World Order will just have control over the money supply, and their dictators will simply control the people underneath them. And of course, underneath them, there's more and more and more stuff. But I had an idea here, Alfred. It's like, I think KFC should release a Ratzinger burger, you know, with the secret herbs and spices. You know, it'd be nice and funny, like Satanism. I just think, you know, isn't it funny how these people get their names and everything like Cardinal Ratzinger? Right. You know, it just sounds evil.
Yeah, no, right. And so one of the hypotheses is that, hear the music, we'll come back to it after the break.
One of those prophecies will be revealed after the break, ladies and gentlemen. Let's hope you don't ascend and get turned into some transmutational being before we come back from break in the next 4 minutes. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Alfred Weber from exopolitics.com. Back in a few minutes.
Live from the Chateau de Rothschild, nestled deep in the hills of Sicily, where a 33rd degree Freemason who's a buddy of mine started the Mafia. And we've been using that model ever since to recruit out our nasty little Ratzinger people into the fold of the New World Order. Speaking of Ratzinger, you can get your Ratzinger energy drinks from your local 7-Eleven now, and you can go out partying like there is no tomorrow, because it'll fracking kill you. Because it's that poisonous, it'll melt through the can if you leave it on the shelf for a couple of weeks. In fact, that really did happen. In fact, somebody noticed that some of the energy drinks were leaking out of the cans, and it turns out that it was eaten through the bottom of it. So now, by regulation, just to make sure everybody's kept safe from these very, very dangerous energy drinks, they have double the thickness of aluminum can to make sure that that stuff at least will only melt your gizzards and not your lounge chair. Alfred Weber is my guest. Welcome back. This show's all about organized crime.
Thank you. Well, you know, now we're on the Gangsters in Tiaras chapter. and how gangsters in tiaras line up with upper theater, biblical prophecy, and what's going to happen over the next 2 to 3 years, 2012 to 2015 or so, on upper theater. What's very interesting, we're looking speculatively at the Vatican, which is the morphed Roman emperor that has been the planetary ruler for the last 3,000 years, and running politics, running finance, and now with, as you said, sort of sub-chapters into the City of London, into the British monarchy, other monarchies, into other isms like fascism and communism. I mean, we shouldn't forget that the People's Republic of China, which is a communist government, is really the morphed over Shanghai gang of Dope Inc. They were the Chinese Communist Party, of which Mao Zedong was a founder. Mao Zedong was actually a project of Yale in China, which in turn was a project of Skull and Bones. Skull and Bones was the second chapter of the Illuminati, founded in 1776. And Mao Zedong was an Illuminati Dope Inc. project along the lines where the Opium Wars in China, where they imported opium from India into China, and that's how they subdued it, was the first sort of major drug war. And that's how the Communist Party started, out of the Shanghai gang, which controlled the Illuminati drug operations known as Dope Inc. in China. And they morphed into what's called the Communist Chinese Party, led by Mao Zedong, who was the chief of Dope Inc. in China. So that's what the Communist Chinese Party is all about. It's just another head of the Illuminati of Dope Inc.
That's strange. I thought Dope Inc. was another name for the United States education system.
No, no. In fact, Dope Inc. is that's what they've tried to do. The Vietnam War was carried out by Dope Inc. because at the time of the reign of George III in England, George III having targeted China with an opium war, some of his survivors, and he wanted to target the American Revolution with an opium war. Somehow that didn't happen. And to fast forward, that drug war, that opium war against the United States, was really a heroin war, took place and was called the Vietnam War, in which the contract was through Pan American Airways and the CIA to bring back the heroin in the body bags of dead American soldiers to make addicts and to addict the underclass, to create the underclass in the U.S., and to addict the youth and the blacks and the inner city cores to heroin. And that was the beginning of the downfall of the U.S., the reason for the Kennedy assassination, the reason why Johnson went into Vietnam, was to carry out the reverse Dope Inc. importation of drugs into the U.S. That's what the Vietnam was.
And that Dope Inc. that we're talking about now, it's kind of run today by the Poppy Bush crime syndicate, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they certainly have one component of it. The whole purpose of 9/11, or one whole purpose, was to create the pretext for the invasion of Afghanistan shortly after 9/11 in October of 2001 so as to reestablish the poppy opium trade in Afghanistan, because the Taliban had shut that down. And Afghanistan was a major source of drugs for Dope Inc. that they would in turn bring into Europe and bring into North. America. Now, looking now from 2012 forward, what can we begin to predict might happen? Well, it looks like the current Pope Ratzinger, the current Roman Emperor, might just implode. And that would open the door for what we call Petrus Romanus. That is, Peter the Roman, the final pope that has been identified by some researchers as what's called the Antichrist. And this is for right before the Roman Church itself implodes. And he has a counterbalance of two individuals who sort of coordinate the entire New World Order. And that individual is an individual who could be called the New World Order King, the King of the World, a king who could satisfy all of the criteria of that are in the protocols of the Zionist king. And it doesn't seem like Prince Charles is that king.
No, however, he doesn't fit the bill in.
Yeah. However, Prince William is. He has, you know, he has the charm, he has the following, he has the telegenics, and he turns 30 in about a week, and that's when his public reign starts. Same thing. I.e., he's the counterpart of the Christ. Where, you know, Christ's public mission started when he was 30 up to when he was 33. So that there, we're talking about the implantation of the New World Order around certain upper theater figures, namely the Antichrist, the false prophet, in the form possibly of the final pope, in the form possibly of Prince William. Now, there's a third upper theater person who's very significant, but he's kind of iffy right now. If you look at Westminster Hall in London, there are only three people in modern history who've been allowed to speak there, and that's the Pope, the Queen, and the Obama. Obama spoke there on May 24, 2011, and I remember that day because that's my birthday, and that's also Queen Victoria's birthday. And Obama was bombed out of his mind because they walked in, and the Archbishops of Canterbury, who were there to greet him, did all sorts of MK Ultra hand signals on him and disoriented him, so that he actually wrote the wrong day on the book as he came in. But he's only one of three people who was allowed to speak there. So he might be being groomed now for a role in upper theater. But in order for him to continue in upper theater as kind of a John the Baptist figure to the Antichrist, who is a global king, he would have to win the election in 2012. But Obama is definitely one of these figures. Obama is himself a CIA legend. There is no such person as Barack Obama Jr. That person doesn't exist. That was put together by the CIA. Barack Obama Sr., what happened was in 1971, the CIA, through quantum access time travel, went forward and discovered that on January 20th, 2009.
Oh, well, hold on a second. We've come into break now, Alfred. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, hold on to your seats. We're going to be talking about Obama's CIA connection when we come back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. You can join into the streams at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and join the chat room there at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. and also Alfred's website, exopolitics.com. I hope you all can hear me because, you know, there's a lot of content across all those three websites that I'd highly recommend everybody listen to. By the way, we're still desperately in need of subscribers, so if you're able to give us a $5 a month or something of that nature to help us keep paying the bills over here, it'd be much appreciated. We'll be right back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness and scumbaggery, Vatican assassin, etc., if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. And it is something that I feel probably it's my role, it's my function. Okay, I figured out that heaps of truthers all over the world who know all this really, really horrible stuff, they need to be able to come on to the show and have a good time, have a few laughs. Hopefully it'll give them some energy and some encouragement to just keep doing what they're doing. Because you know, Alfred, every single time somebody sends you a message saying, just keep up the good work, and they don't actually do anything to help you keep up the good work. Well, if anything, that encouragement is very, very well valued. But the fact of the matter is, keeping up the good work is a hell of a mission. So if you're capable, ladies and gentlemen, of donating to myself or Alfred, please do. You can go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. You can subscribe for $5, $10, $20 a month if you feel like it. We'll give you commercial-free archives to listen to, as well as I go on other shows fairly regularly. So in those commercial-free archives, I also put commercial-free versions of those other shows that I'm on into the ad-free archive for the subscribers. So your support is very, very much valued, and it all goes to paying the bills here and, well, basically keeping up with the Joneses. Alfred Weber, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, and I totally support Vinnie Eastwood and the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and I would, you know, encourage listeners to really really support him and to subscribe to his program because the platforms that those of us who labor in the truth movement have are, you know, not that many, and Vinny supplies a very important platform. So I completely support what Vinny has just said, and I urge you to become one of his subscribers.
Well, thanks for that, Alfred.
Sure.
Okay. Now, what were we talking about before we came across the
book? Yeah, well, you know, we're just trying to get an idea of what is going to occur over the next few years. And we're talking about another, aside from the Pope, the Prince, Prince William, who may be the false prophet, you know, one, the upcoming final Pope, the false prophet, the upcoming Prince William, the Antichrist. You know, at first, a couple of years ago, people would say, Prince William the Antichrist, are you crazy? He's so good. He's so naive. You know, and now people are beginning to understand that, hey, you know, how else would the Antichrist manifest except as angelically looking, right? And finally, another sort of upper theater figure is the Obama. Now, the Obama would be sort of a, you know, kind of an Antichrist farm team, you know, maybe one of the 10 or so that'll be down there. Now, the issue about the Obama is that we don't know whether he's going to be part of the final mix or not, because in order to do that, he's got to win the 2012 election, which is kind of a dicey proposition now, although he knows, and the CIA Time Travel Central has already informed him whether he's going to be president, because in 1971, they informed his mother, Stanley Ann Dunham, who informed his son, who was then 10 years old, that he's going to be a future U.S. president. And what occurred is that at that point in 1971, he was called Barry Satoru. And in fact, he had been born in Washington State in 1961 of an African-American father of a U.S. father, probably an African-American activist. But the CIA had gone forward to January 20th, 2009, when that president was inaugurated, and found that a person by the name of Barack Obama Jr., or Barack Obama, had been sworn in. So they had to back up in 1971 and create, as intelligence agencies do, a legend called Barack Obama. And what they did, and this is all documented, and people can go to our course at Exo University, that's www.exouniversity.org. It's a forum that will be released on the internet on July 22nd, 2012, called Who is Barack Obama? Just to get to the bottom line quickly.
And then we'll take callers. We've got two people holding on. So finish up your point, and then we'll go to them.
Yeah, sure. Is that they flew in Barack Obama Sr., who in 1971 was a middle-level Kenyan bureaucrat in the government, and they flew him to Hawaii. And the person who organized this was his friend Neil Abercrombie, paid for by Stanley Ann Dunham's parents, who were lifelong CIA operatives. And Stanley Ann Dunham herself was a CIA asset operative who lived in Indonesia undercover as an AID agent, but working for the CIA. And they, over the Christmas holidays for 6 weeks, they put together a plan whereby Barack Obama Sr. sort of promised to be the father of Barack Obama Jr., and they took a picture at the airport, you know, with him with his father, and that's how the legend of Barack Obama was born. But it's all done by time travel. So let's go to the callers.
Indeed. First caller, area code 405. Our second caller is 631. So we'll get to you in a second. So 405 area code, what's your first name and state you are calling from? Caller, are you there? You're on the air. All right. Can't hear him. Okay, get to the next caller, area code 631. You're on the air. What's your first name and state you're calling from, please?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Hi, this is Kim from New York. Hi, Alfred, how are you?
Kim, hi there. Great. Yeah.
Oh, it's so good to talk to you. This is Kim Zamarthy. We talk all the time on Facebook.
Yeah, sure.
I just adore you. I'm so glad that I got to connect with you today and tell you what a great job you're doing, and
Thank you. How
much I look up to you, and I'm taking your courses at Exo University, my first one. I'm so excited, and I really just wanted to call in and just say, you know, keep going. You're great. You're awesome. I love you and all that you do. It's great.
Oh, thank
you so much. And thank you, Vinny, for your show.
Can you tell us something, Kim? I'd like to ask this of all the callers. What woke you up to the whole New World Order system?
Oh, my goodness. That would take me a long time to answer, but it started in about 2010. My path was always spiritual, and then suddenly in 2010, I was awoken to how the spiritual path combines with science, and then the UFO thing came to me, and I just could not stop studying it. So I've been listening to, started with Kerry Cassidy, and it just snowballed from there. I just couldn't stop getting enough of this information, and I didn't watch television, so I did this. And I found Alfred, and I've listened to Tolek. But long answer, but that's the short version. Thanks for asking me.
Well, it's good, though, because it's similar for a lot of us, Kim, don't you think, is that something wakes us up, and it's usually just exposure to the right material, and then what happens is we become almost, I wouldn't call it obsession, it's extreme interest, right?
Yeah.
For the topics at hand. And I think it's kind of like, it's sort of like a drug, all right? You know, when you first take a new drug, that drug works really, really strongly, right? And then in order to get that same buzz off the drug, you've got to do it more and even stronger sort of thing. And that's similar to the truth movement, you know? You kind of get into it. I mean, who's the gateway drug of the truth movement is what I want to know.
That's funny. Maybe David Icke, I don't know. But I think, Alfred, you're right there, man. You were right there. And I think you just had a really good point, Vinny. But the difference between the truth movement and drugs, hopefully, is that the truth movement is the truth. And the reason it's so intense is because you can feel that. You can feel it in your body. I feel it palpably. It's affected my meditations. Like I said, I was a spiritual path for about 20 years. I'm a single mom. A lot of stuff draws my attention when it comes to, you know, changing this world. I recognize the insanity of this world, I think. So it was kind of easy for me to believe the, quote, conspiracy theories, because to me they make a lot more sense than reality as we see it. You know, talk about pomp and circumstance.
I don't know, Kim. It sounds pretty silly to me for someone to not believe that two giant aluminium cans full of kerosene jet fuel can turn 200,000 tons of steel and concrete into pulverized dust particulates
smaller
as they fall out of the sky. You know, I can't believe that. That's just silly.
But you know what, Vinny? Here I sit in New York on Long Island, and I don't know a single soul that I can talk to about this stuff, because nobody believes it. Nobody wants to face it. Nobody here. It's like we're in a cloud, especially in New York. You know, people do not want to think that was a false flag movement, and they don't even know what a false flag is. I honestly can't find anybody to talk about with this stuff except for online. And thank God I have a group all over the world, so that I know that I'm not crazy. But the thing is that it all fits together.
I was thinking about going to some giant fly spray company like a Black Flag or something and making a false flag fly spray so you can spray it on people like David Rockefeller or whatever, and it'll
right.
die on your windows.
Exactly. You know, and Alfred was mentioning about this Diamond Jubilee. I turn on CNN, which I don't like to do, but of course, now, 2012, I'm looking for everything, even on the news. So I can't believe the coverage going on about this Diamond Jubilee. Meanwhile, we have four or five states burning in the United States, and then everything that's happening in Canada, and everything, of course, in Egypt and Siberia and all these other places in the world that are huge, and all you see is Diamond Jubilee and millions of dollars being spent on this. So this is the insanity that makes it so easy for me to, first of all, look into the truth movement. Second of all, see it, believe it, understand it, and I feel it palpably in my body. You know, and I've been studying how to feel things palpably in my body through people like David Hawkins, Dr. David Hawkins, who wrote Truth Versus Falsehood and kinesiology and meditation. So I've tried to learn real discernment and how to really discern truth from falsehood. And the truth movement to me is so much more true than reality as we see it, and real life and 3D and what's on TV and 9 to 5 going to work and, you know, this crazy life, the Obama and all of the stuff. And what's great is how I see how it all fits together perfectly, spirituality, science, ufology, exopolitics, and so much more. Oh, and also I wanted to say I'm going to see Michael Tellinger tomorrow night here in New York City, his first presentation. Cool. Alfred, I wish you were going to be there.
You're going to meet a lot of cool people at that conference, and I can guarantee, and this is the thing that I recommend every truther do. If you're not friends with any other truthers, go to conferences where truthers are speaking, and you will
find... That's what I'm doing, Okay.
Having friends, trust me, it's more important than virtually anything else. It's almost more important than having enough money to eat.
I agree. Well, I've been doing that with my spiritual life for the past 6 years since my divorce. It's made a huge difference in my spiritual life going to all of the retreats and workshops I've done, and now this is my first Truth Movement presentation, so I'm very excited. And, you know, everybody knows Michael Tellinger, a great speaker and stuff, so I'm bringing my 13-year-old son with me. My kids are involved a little bit in this, too, because they recognize also, and that was going to be one of my questions about education. And I just so hope that our educational system is going to change, because what a messed up bag that is, as we know. And I have kids.
Well,
I
find the education system boils down like this. You know what the first group of people that Nazi Germany actually passed legislation discriminating against? Homeschoolers.
True. Yeah.
They were the first people, and it's because the state wants to basically indoctrinate your kids so that they will love it and see your El Presidente Barack H. O. Barry Satoru as daddy, essentially. And so, you know, when I have kids, there's no bloody way they're going to public school. You know, I can stay home, I can do it. It's worth the sacrifice, I think, that it takes, because a parent can teach their child a heck of a lot better than some adult teacher, allegedly, who doesn't know nothing.
I agree, absolutely, but I'm a single mom, so it's kind of hard. I actually have to go work and make money and pay the bills and feed the kids, and it's very tough, you know. It's hard to exist and just make a little, you know, and they make it very difficult to even pursue a spiritual life.
You know what? We need a truther babysitting company, okay? somewhere that truthers can take their children when they got to go to work and their slave job and all of that kind of stuff.
That's an excellent idea.
You can drop your kids off at somebody who's very spiritually enlightened and very cool, is going to teach
them. Right, and as far as an education...
It was an inside job, and the Illuminati wants to kill their parents and everything. It'll be great. All right, well, Kim, thank you for your call. We'll be coming back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be taking the remainder of our calls. We've got Lisa from East Texas calling in, and also that caller who is the area code 405. So, Kim, thank you very much for your call. I was quite appreciative of that. And we'll be back in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere.
To fly to New Zealand by plane from New York City, it takes 22 hours. So from the Twin Cities, 19. I mean, I fly all the time, and 6 hours on a plane is like a lot, and 19 is wrong. And they distract you. They feed you, and then they feed you some more, and then they feed you. Give me a dessert. Give me a dessert. Give me a dessert. Have your dessert, you prick. Give me that dessert. Have a Bloody Mary. Yeah, give me a whiskey sour. Yeah, give me whatever you got. Just more liquor, more liquor, more liquor. And then when you're done, there's still 16 hours to go. You want to know what it's like, you can experience going to New Zealand. Very
Lewis Black there, ladies and gentlemen. Very funny comedian, and he does these two comedy sketches I've seen of him so far. One of them is called Rules of Enragement. That's what that clip is from. And another one, which I think is actually almost as good, I think it might actually be slightly better, is Red, White, and Screwed. Now, Alfred, we had two things that we wanted to mention before we go to Lisa in East Texas. I was going to talk about the what happens when you try to avoid prophecy, and you wanted to talk about something else. What was it?
Yeah, just to take the transition up to the 9/11 and the Vancouver the Vancouver 9/11 hearings, which are coming up June 15th to 17th here, we'll be having a tribunal of judges. I'm going to be one of the judges on the tribunal, chosen because of my position as a judge on the Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Tribunal. All of the presenters are leading-edge experts on the 9/11 issue. They're all going to be sworn in as witnesses, and we will have a verdict and a judgment given and under international law. And it does appear to us that there's prima facie evidence that 9/11 was war crimes, crimes against humanity, and genocide, certainly alone because it was intended by the co-conspirators that set up 9/11, that they set up the Afghanistan war and its use of depleted uranium there, which is found by the Tokyo International Tribunal for War Crimes in Afghanistan to be genocide and crimes against humanity. So we are pursuing this now with the instrumentality of law, and that's part of the agenda of 2012 accountability, so that all of these pieces of the New World Order, according to the Nuremberg judgments, which is how their first wave of the Hitler government fell, now we'll have the second wave of the false prophet and Antichrist government and the Bush administration and all of those intermediary fascist pieces fall.
Yeah, see, now this is the thing. 2012 is getting really, really, it's hotting up everywhere. Lisa in East Texas will come to you in just a second. And yeah. What happens is there's multiple prophecies. I think there's like 13 or 14 prophecies that are in the Bible and Sumerian texts and goodness knows where else. All these different sources. They all say the exact same thing. The New World Order cannot win, and eventually it's going to be defeated and a golden age of humanity comes through. Yeah. Now, the Romans, back in the day, they found this book of prophecy, and the first prophecy that they read out was one where basically the Roman Empire is going to fall and all its grain is going to get rotted and they're going to starve. So in an effort to avoid that prophecy, they went and they confiscated all the grain, put it in this one building, guarded it 24 hours a day, but the building wasn't watertight. So all that grain rotted and people starved and the Roman Empire collapsed. And it shows, doesn't it, that when you try to avoid your destiny, the steps that you take to avoid it are the steps that you take to fulfill it, and you cannot stop it. And right. That's why the New World Order is always trying to kill people, suppress the truth, propagandize us with media, put their puppets in power and everything like that. Do you know what that does, ladies and gentlemen? It wakes more people up. Everything that they do to try and suppress the truth only gives us more weapons, more ammunition in order to expose it. Lisa in East Texas, welcome to the show.
Hi, Vinny. Hi, Alfred. Good to talk to you both. Hey. Vinny, first I want to tell you I'm going to be contributing regularly. I just want to let you know I just haven't gotten online and done that yet, and I want you to look for an email from me about what a primary reason why I am, because it's not what you think. But so I wanted to say that, but Alfred, you're so fascinating, and I just, you know, a couple of years ago, what you're saying would have really shocked, you know, maybe shocked me a little more, but everything you say has such a ring of truth to it. I wanted to mention one thing and then ask you a question. The first thing, regarding what you said about time travel and Obama's, you know, needing to win the presidency, of course, that's easy to orchestrate if they need to, but I think it's that supposition might be backed up by what Obama said to, I think it was one of the Russian diplomats or something, when he had a hot mic and he said, you know, well, I'll be more flexible after the next election. So maybe he already does know.
I thought that was don't worry about it. That's just campaign rhetoric.
Lisa, you have picked up on something that's very important, because Barack Obama, whose legal name is actually Barry Satoru, it has never been changed to Barack Obama, except for a name change in British Columbia on October 14th, 1982, in a British Columbia court. He changed his name from Barack Munir Ubaid, which is one of his spy names that he operated under for the CIA, to Barack Obama. And this was part of the, you know, part of the cover stuff. And that was done in 1982, right after his father, quote, end of quote, father, his legend father, was killed in an automobile accident, which is actually a CIA assassination in Kenya. You know, dead men tell no tales. So you're absolutely right. The other telltale interview was when he spoke to ABC's Diane Sawyer in January of 2012, and she asked him, "Do you think you're going to win in 2012? And he said, "Yes, I'm going to win." And it looked like he had been briefed via time travel to say, you know, he actually saw or had been briefed by the time travel unit inside CIA that said, "Yep, you're going to win both 2009 and the 2013 inauguration." So I was just bringing up the hypothetical. What's really interesting, to show you how deep the deception goes in U.S. fabric, Bill Clinton was also, and we have witnesses to this, you can go to exopolitics.com and you can read all of the articles. Just go to the right-hand index and click on time travel, or to www.exouniversity.org and take some of our time travel courses. And that is that President Bill Clinton was told in 1971 that he would be a future president. And also his wife, Hillary Clinton, even when they were both law schools, students at Yale Law School, I'm also an alumnus of Yale Law School. Hillary and Bill were at Yale Law School about 5 years after myself. And Hillary was going around telling everybody that Bill was going to be a future president. And that is that when Hillary ran against Bill in 2008, it was totally fake. She knew that the CIA had briefed her that he would be president, but they needed this kind of thing so as to, you know, keep up the pretense, so that what we have is the U.S. presidency, which we have the U.S. presidency, which has been captured by time travel, and in which all of the U.S. presidents have been pre-informed 20 and 30 years in advance. They, in essence, have been groomed to be president. They're like CIA operatives or CIA assets, and the elections are a fraud and a joke and a masquerade. So one of the optimistic things of why this is going to change, just to bring in the conversation where we were until now, is that around 2016, all of this upper theater, Antichrist, false prophet, New World Order, global government thing will be coming in, but so will the truth movement of just being able to communicate to large sectors of humanity that they're being deceived by this quantum access technology. And that's where it's all going to begin to deconstruct. So from 2016 forward, we can see begin to see the deconstruction and the accession to power of a new generation of leaders who are hip to all of this and who are controlled. That's the optimistic scenario. Now, Lisa, you had a second question.
I do have a question. You kind of just touched on it a little bit as far as the timeline when you were talking about the false prophet, the Zionist king. I've studied Zionism deeply as for the last year or so, simply because I had been deceived for so long by the church about what really truly Israel is about. What I'm wondering is what does it look like as far as a timeline of when this, of course the royal family and so forth in England, they're very tied in, obviously, with the Zionists. They consider themselves, don't they consider themselves heirs to the bloodline of Christ or something like that? And so they're very, very, working in concert, I guess, with the Zionist leaders, And so what timeline are you thinking seems reasonable as far as when they would think that it's time to bring out their Zionist king, which could be, really, really well could be Prince William. Yeah. Sounds very interesting.
Sure. This is all, once you get down to specific dates is where, again, as we know, it becomes very, very dicey. One scenario says as follows, number one, from the false prophet, from the Vatican point of view, who, of course, the Vatican rules the UK through the secret treaty of Verona, we now have this tremendous unraveling within the Vatican where the papacy of Benedict could implode, kind of a Watergate type situation going on there, so that Benedict could implode and anywhere in the next year to 18 months to 2 years, he could leave and the final pope, if the prophecy of St. Malachi is correct, that Ratzinger is the penultimate pope, and we have the final pope come in. So, and then concurrently in a timeline, we're looking at the British throne. There we have now where technically the successor is Charles. Charles kind of bounces up and down in popularity there's sort of conflicting polls. Charles got a real recent bounce because he was named the organizer of the Diamond Jubilee. So he, built himself into it and he got a lot of popularity. But in the polls of the children, for example, the Queen's at 91%, followed by Prince William at 53%, and Prince Charles is down at 25%. And Prince Charles does not meet the test of the Zionist king. I mean, the world Zionist king has to be, if you look at the protocols of the Elders of Zion or similar protocols, that's a guy who is really, very rigorous. And Prince Charles was unfaithful to his wife, Diana. From the get-go, there are people who say that he was part of the assassination, that they just wanted to, that Diana was brought in to breed William the Antichrist and then get her bloodline in, the Spencer bloodline, and then she was assassinated because they didn't want her around, but they wanted to take the breed, namely Prince William, and groom him into the future Zionist king. So let's say that over the next, 18 to 24 to 36 months, something happens. Of course, nobody knows what Elizabeth's going to do. So I like to look at... Sorry?
We're coming to break now.
Okay, we'll be back in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen. And also, Kim in New York, who called in earlier, one of our listeners in the chat room wants to hook up and make friends with you. So if you go to the Facebook, and you search for the page Wide Awake Parents, my good friend Ange is keen to hook up and talk with you there. So we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Segment, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, of the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. It's kind of a unique experience being a New Zealander on an American network. I don't think that's ever happened before in history. Like, I'm a historical figure now. Anyway, we had an interesting question in from the chat room. Where is Spider-Man to help us untangle this web of deceit? And I said, well, the web of deceit is so overarching and so massive that Spider-Man's just sitting there spinning out, bro. Straight up. Now, Alfred Weber is my guest, and we were talking about, over the break, the Silver Legion. It was a, what was it? Some kind of a galactic strike force or whatever. And Alfred was explaining to me how the sort of galactic, or sorry, intergalactic, government sort of works, and basically it's kind of like this. You ever been into a group or an AA meeting, an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting? You know, everybody says I'm Vinny and I'm an alcoholic, and so on and so forth. So you got all these people that have a similar problem. Okay, well, that be peace in the universe, and what they do is essentially they try and go through the steps of allowing themselves to have their own regions and their own personal governments and their own personal freedom, whilst keeping an eye on the other people, making sure that they don't, you know, bring a bottle of liquor or a nuclear weapon in that figurative sense to the party. And at the moment, Earth, being the ultimate nuclear center of the universe, as far as I'm concerned, with all our 10,000s of nuclear warheads and blah, 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 they're looking at us like, you guys are bloody primitive, you know? Grow up. Is that a fair assumption? I don't know.
Yeah. Vinny, could I talk or add here?
Go for your life.
Yeah, sure. Just for people who want to know about the Silver Legion, you can go to my website, exopolitics.com, and there's a link there on the right-hand menu called Galactic Governance. And I have a great many articles on the Galactic Governance function, including about 10 or so articles on the Andromeda Council there as well. And I heard an interview between the contact person of the so-called Andromeda Council, Tolek, and a representative of the Silver Legion not too long ago. And I have very specific interpretation of what's going on there, and that is that this is interdimensional communication, which may be pointing at very real processes. You know, I try to analyze all of the occurrences, either the destruction of undersea reptilian bases or underground reptilian bases, etc., and try to correlate it with science, with scientific findings. And at the same time, I found that there's a great deal that doesn't correspond to science, so that in my judgment, concepts like the Andromeda Council or the Silver Legion are maybe pointing to very real processes, but at the same time are not true galactic governance councils or intergalactic governance councils, but more along the lines of interdimensional phenomena. So I just wanted to mention that.
Now, in terms of, we'll go back, I like to say all the time that what happens is, in the end, everything comes back to the beginning, right? So I wanted to kind of close off talking about Tony Blair and George Bush and their war crimes and what have you. And I'm starting to think about it like this. What happens is we have our politicians. They come in, they do the bidding of the New World Order, and then they get used as scapegoats, and the entire apparatus behind them, the funding and the general scumbaggery, is not exposed, and that person is kind of, it's sort of like pin the tail on the donkey, except there's many donkeys, and you've only got one tail to pin on them. And what I find is that people get frustrated, right, because it's very difficult to have a targeted, you know, like a smart bomb attack against New World Order credibility, because they have so many servants that need to be discredited along the way. It's a process, isn't it?
Yeah, you have really framed one of the principal aspects of this process, and also one of the principal limitations of the legal process in terms of accountability. And when we first started this 5 years ago in a speech at the Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Tribunal, I identified what I call the International War Crimes Racketeering Organization, which is to put in legal terms through anti-racketeering laws that would pierce the corporate veil and really go back deep into the background, all the forces that are causing wars, all the forces that are manipulating poverty, that are causing debt, that are causing famine, that are, carrying out environmental warfare, and really broadly framing legal actions in terms of racketeering laws and an international war crimes racketeering organization, so that we can reach in deeply and identify all of these parties, not just, as you say, the scapegoats. And so far, I haven't been able to find a legal structure that is willing to go that way. They're still very much in the tribunal fashion. Let's see what occurs with this 9/11 tribunal, because we know from the data that the most advanced exotic technology was used in 9/11, and its organization took about 30 years, and it involved all of the deepest members of the International War Crimes Racketeering Organization, including interdimensional factors, probably the reptilians and the Orion Greys. So this would be an ideal case for what I would call a truth venue, and that is a venue that's equipped with judges and prosecutors and witnesses that can really understand the nature of multidimensional reality and be able to adduce facts and evidence that would yield to verdicts and judgments that would yield justice of a multidimensional nature.
Multidimensional justice system. Not only can we convict you in this dimension, but in the next as well.
That's it.
Yeah. Now, is that basically part of it, Alfred? Because I'm starting to find out through a lot more listening, basically, in recent times, that there really is a spiritual, extraterrestrial, demonology type aspect to the New World Order that doesn't exist on this physical plane here, and yet it's capable of crossing over, passing through, and having an effect on us, you know, whether that be an effect on our mind or our hearts, or even in many cases, what I found is becoming start to, what really scare me is possession. Like, do you find that that's the case, that some of these people might in fact be perhaps a little possessed? I don't know. There's something about them. They no longer have a conscience. They act very similar to what one would conceive as a demon.
Yeah. The New World Order is kind of the third dimension rollout of what you would call the Draco Reptilian and Orion Gray, and Anunnaki ET agenda, as well as deep interdimensional forces of a negative nature, which colloquially are called satanic, after the local gods of this that, you know, control the planet, and around which there was a planetary rebellion against the governance of the universe administration of what we can call Source or God. So these are very deep things that are spoken of symbolically in our sacred texts like the Old and New Testament. And the book of Genesis, alludes to them. But we are on a planet which in ancient times, both in our surface reality, in our deeper dimensions, is still operating under and at effect of deep rebellions from the divine order.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's like I was saying to you over the break, the real world is like Star Wars, and the rebellion has begun. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and my very special guest, Alfred Lambremont Weber. You can check him out at exopolitics.com. And if you're capable of subscribing to the Vinnie Eastwood Show to support what I'm doing, giving people a platform and just kind of, you know, just doing the grunt work, basically, sending out those interview requests for you. If you want me to interview somebody, please just send me their email address or their website or anything like that, and I will make sure that I send them at least an email inviting them on to the show. So, ladies and gentlemen, man, it's been a good show. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again sometime. Archives at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and AmericanFreedomRadio.com as well.